All right, then we'll say Gemara.
Beautiful. 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 All right, Rabbi, let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We are starting at the Mishnah on Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon says, actually, the truth is, we've actually seen this Mishnah quoted already earlier. It's a little bit of Chazara. Reb Shimon Omer, Ein Zuchus Tola B'mayim Hamorim. So Reb Shimon says, a Zuchus, if a woman has some type of Zuchus, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Right, if a woman has some kind of Zuchus, right? So again, ein zuchus tola b'mayim hamarim. So a zuchus, a mitzvah, we'll call it a zuchus, some type of merit, does not delay the impact of the water. Ve'im ata omer zuchus tola b'mayim hamarim, because if you say that merit impacts the effectiveness of the water, matha ata ata es hamayim b'fnei kol anoshim. So you are diminishing the impact and the value of the water in the eyes of all women. So Reb Shimon says, here there are two problems. Problem number one is, if at the end of the day, you go ahead and you say that zuchus tolala, if you say that a mitzvah or some type of merit blunts the impact or delays the impact of the water, so first of all, you're blunting the effectiveness of the water in the eyes of women. And furthermore, and perhaps either just as important, more importantly, motzi ato shemra ala tohoro sheshasu. Furthermore, you're also casting aspersions on women who really did not commit adultery and drank the waters. Why? Because also remember, Reb Shimon says the way it's supposed to work is, if a woman is guilty, she dies. And if she's not guilty, then Baruch Hashem, she doesn't die. But now what you're telling me is that there's a situation where a woman could be guilty, and yet what? She'll still live. In which case, again, your motzi laz, you cast aspersions on the women who really did not commit adultery, and you'll say, why? Why didn't the waters impact them? Sha'omim t'mei osein, you'll say that these women really committed adultery. Ela shetalsa lohen zuchus. But rather again, there's just simply some merit that ultimately went ahead and helped them. So therefore, again, Rabbi Reb Shimon's opinion is, Ein zuchus tola mayim hamarim, merits do not help with the bitter waters. If she's guilty, she dies. It doesn't matter how many merits she has. And if she's innocent, she thrives. Rabbi Omer, ha zuchus tola mayim hamarim. Rabbi says, no, it's not true. So zechus, if a woman does have some type of merit, that merit can protect her from the immediate impact of the water. Now Rebbe's also concerned about the fact that aren't you casting a... You see, Rebbe's not as concerned about the fact that you'll go ahead and diminish or blunt the impact of the waters on women who are guilty. Rather, he's more concerned about the issue of being motzilas. Are you not casting aspersions on women who are Torahs? Which Rebbe says, I'm going to tell you why that's not a problem. He says, because even though zechus tolala, even though her merit could blunt the impact of the water, nevertheless, ve'ino yoledes, ve'ino mishabachas, ela misnavna veholechas. So Rabbi Shimon will say, here's what happens. If a woman is innocent, the waters not only do not kill her, but what? They actually serve as a source of vitality for her. If, however, she committed adultery, but she has some type of zechus, some type of merit that blunts the immediate impact of the water, then what happens? She suffers a slow, not even such a slow, but we'll call it a slower and steadier decline. So, of course, she will not become pregnant. She does not improve. Rather, again, she withers away. And therefore, l'sof himesa ba'osa misa. And at the end of the day, she dies the same way that a sota dies. So again, with the stomach swelling up, the thigh distending, all of these things. Therefore, again, Rebbe will say, all zechus tolala does is it delays the same process. So therefore, at the end of the day, her guilt will become known. But the mind says she doesn't die instantaneously. I'm sorry? It sounds like the decline starts somewhat immediately. I'm sorry?
Can she go back to her husband?
Well, you wouldn't know this. You wouldn't know this immediately afterwards.
That's what I'm saying.
So it sounds like not. It sounds like she wouldn't be asur l'bayla. That's what it sounds like. But again, remember, this happens to be, this is not, I mean, this is not the way that Rambam or anyone else paskins. Rambam really paskins like Reb Shimon that ultimately in Zuchus Tolala that the waters had an immediate impact. Again, seems to be a machlokes in Metzias about what act. I mean, this doesn't have to be. There seems to be right. There seems. So now Menachem is saying, "Good." The truth is, I don't. It seems to be that they had a lack of clarity as to what actually happened in the basement. You know, somebody asked me, I don't remember who asked me last week about, you know, is Sota like Ben Sora Rumora? You know, like is it one of these situations where it never happened? Now the truth is, we know it happened. We know it happened because the Gemara is going to record stories of Sotos. We know that there were Sotos, but it seems to be there's some level of Machlokes exactly how this played out in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara goes weiter. Nitmeis Minchasa. Well, so remember again, we spoke extensively about the Mincha of the Sota. So what happens again if her Mincha becomes Tmeya? I mean, however that happens, we'll say a Sheretz falls on her Mincha or something else. Sa'ad Shalo Kidsha B'Kli. If her mincha has not yet been sanctified in a kli shares, hari kichala minachos, so it's like any other mincha, v'tifte, and I'll also remember again, so if the mincha has not yet been placed in a kli shares, which is a temple service utensil, so and it becomes tamei, it's easy enough, you just redeem it. So remember, what you do is you transfer the sanctity of the mincha onto money, you deconsecrate the mincha itself, and you use the money to purchase a new mincha. Fine, no problem. However, again, if the mincha has already been sanctified in a service utensil, in a kli sharis, then hari kichala menachos v'tisarif. Then it's like any other mincha, we'll say, and once a mincha has been consecrated in a utensil, you cannot redeem it. So if you cannot redeem it, the only thing you could do is what? You burn it. And I will say, these are the people, ultimately, again. So first off, we just take a look at Rashi. The last Rashi in Amud Beis, Rashi says, V'tisarif, Shekitcha kedushas haguf, Ve'ino yotza ol l'chulim. So Rashi makes a distinction over here. When a mincha becomes consecrated, if it has not yet been placed in a kisharis, in a service utensil, it has what's called kedushas damim, financial sanctity, monetary sanctity. So monetary sanctity can always be redeemed and transferred to something else. Once an item ever has been placed in a klisharis, a temple service utensil, then it has what's called kedusha saguf, physical sanctity. Physical sanctity cannot be deconsecrated with money. Therefore, the only thing you could possibly do with it is you burn it. And I will say, these are the situations in which the mincha of the sota will be burned. Now, what does that mean? Meaning it will not be offered up. So the Mishnah says, Tap of Chav Gimel, Ha'omeres Temeya Ani Lecha. So we'll say again, let's say you have a situation where a woman says, I am Temeya. She admits, I committed adultery. And we'll say, now we spoke about earlier that even if they've dissolved the waters already, if she says, Temeya Ani, I committed adultery, she does not drink. We have a problem, because what happens? Now you have a mincha, you have a kar mincha sitting in a kli sharis. So what do I do with it? I burn it. Remember, we'll say, just, I should clarify this. The normal, what do you normally do with the Karban Mincha? Remember, again, you have the Kli Sharis filled with flour, oil, and Lavona. So what happens is the Kohen does the Kemitza, right, the three fingerfuls, that gets burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest is consumed by the Kohen. So when we speak about burning a Mincha, what we are referring to is not the Kemitza, what we are referring to is the whole thing. Essentially, what we're saying is that under these circumstances, the mincha cannot be consumed. So because of that, the only thing we can do with it is to burn it. So for example, if she says, Tamei ani lecha, she says, I committed adultery. So Abba says, so we're not going to offer up. So again, we're not going to have the coin eat the mincha, because the mincha ultimately is what's called the mincha is a mincha sota. Once she admits that she committed adultery, she's no longer a sota, she's an adulteress. So what do I do with the mincha? I burn it. Next, tamamer tzmei mincha, v'shebo'u la'idim shi tmeya. Or if witnesses showed up in the Beis HaMikdash and said, we saw her commit adultery, so we'll say in that case also, we burn the mincha. V'ha'omeres ein yishoseh. Or if a woman says, I am not drinking the waters. Or shebaila ba'aleha b'derech. So we'll discuss this case more in depth. The husband has relations with her on their way to the Beis HaMikdash. I will say what this literally means is husband has relations with her after she's already been deemed a sota who is ready to drink. Husband has relations with her. So I will say in all of these cases, again, the mincha ultimately is burned on the Mizbeach. Rashi points out over here, Tap Rashi, that's actually the next line. V'chol nesuos l'kohanim, let's finish the Mishnah. V'chol nesuos l'kohanim, and any women who are married to kohanim, Minchosehen Nisrafos. their mincha is automatically burned. Now take a look at the Tap Rashi. Even if the kometz was already offered, kilchaso, velo nitmu, nisrafin shirayin beveis hadeshen, kid mifarish begimara. So we'll say, now what's interesting over here is the following. The Mishnah seems to be making a statement, not just by sota, but in general, that the mincha that is offered by the wife of a kohen, the entire mincha is burned on the mizbeach. Now, whether Rashi's already giving away a little bit of the punchline, might not be in the mizbeach; it might be by the ash heap. But we're going to see that entire mincha is burnt. Bas Yisro, we'll see why in the Gemara. Bas Yisro shenisei l'kohen. However, if you have a Bas Yisro who married a kohen, minchasa nisrafes. So too again. Her mincha is never consumed by the Kohanim. Rather, the entire mincha is burnt. So we'll say not only is the kamitza burnt, but the rest of the offering is burnt as well. However, v'kohenes shenises liyisrael. But if you have a situation of a kohenes, we'll say is the daughter of a kohen. So a daughter of a kohen who marries Yisrael, minchasa ne'echeles. Her mincha. Is consumed, right? Is eaten. I was saying, what's the pshat? Take a look at Rashi over here. So Kohenes Rashi says, Bas Kohen, Minchasa Ne'echeles, Dechol Minchas Kohen Kalil Sihia, Lo Sochal Ksiv. Well, as I see here, the Pasek, this is about Xeris Akasa. The Pasek says, Dechol Minchas Kohen Kalil, Tia Lo Seachel. Well, there's a special Xeris Akasa by Kohanim that whenever a Kohen offers up a Mincha, that Mincha is fully burnt. Right? Again, remember, if anyone else, if a non-kohen offers up a mincha, so you just burn a kmitza, and the rest is consumed by the kohanim, when a kohen offers up a mincha, then ultimately, again, the whole thing is burnt. Just like Xer Sakasov. What the Mishnah is pointing out over here, by the way, is that it's not only any mincha that a kohen is offered, that a kohen offers, but rather what? Any mincha in which a kohen has an ownership interest in is also burned. That's why we will see that if the wife of a kohen offers the mincha, what happens to it? It's also fully burnt. However, again, this only applies to a kohen. If, let's say, a bas kohen who is married to a Yisrael offers up a mincha, so she does not have the status of a kohen, and therefore what? And therefore her mincha, again, goes through the regular process. The kamitza goes. The kamitza is on the mizbeach, and the rest ultimately again is consumed. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ma bein kohen lekohenes. So we'll say, now the Gemara brought up this distinction over here. The Gemara says, what are some other differences between a kohen and a kohenes? Kohenes being a bas kohen. Minchas kohenes ne'echeles. So we'll say, we're going to go through a number of differences. So first of all, the mincha of a kohenes is consumed. In other words, that if a bas kohen offers up a mincha, so that mincha is not fully burnt. Rather, that mincha is consumed. On the other hand, u'minchas kohen eino ne'echeles. On the other hand, as we said, the mincha of a kohen is not consumed. Rather, it is fully burnt on the mizbeach. Next, kohenes mischalales. The kohen in mischalal. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kohenes mischalales minachuma u'minakuruna im nivola l'psul. We'll say, if a bas kohen has relations with someone with whom she is not able to marry, not permitted to marry, that makes her into a chalala. Once she becomes a chalala, she cannot marry a kohen anymore. Can't marry a kohen. We'll say that status remains with her. That's what's called bas kohen, kohenes mischalala. She becomes a permanent chalala. The kohen in mischalala, which means what? Let's say a kohen marries someone he's not allowed to. Kohen marries a divorcee. So we'll say he's only disqualified as long as what? As long as he's married to that woman. Once he divorces her, he is restored to his full state of kahuna. So you see from here that a woman could be permanently disqualified from the kahuna, but a man does not be a kohen does not become permanently disqualified. Next, kohenes mitamei lemesim, a bas kohen could become tamei lemesim. There's no din for her refraining from corpse tuma exposure. Vein kohen mitamei lemesim, but a kohen, of course, cannot go ahead and become tamei. Why? We're going to see the Gemara. So, Kohen ochal b'kodshei kadoshim. So, we'll say Kohen can eat in kodshei kadoshim. So, remember again, Rashi points out kodshei kadoshim, chatos, asham, u'mincha, b'kulam ksiv kol zachar. So, we'll see in the Gemara. The difference between kodshim, kadoshim, and kodshim, the different types of sacrifices. The distinction is Kodshei Kadashim must be consumed on the Temple Mount. Kodshim Kalim could be consumed anywhere within the walls of Yerushalayim. So only a Kohen could eat Kodshei Kadashim, and a Bas Kohen cannot. Remember, a Kohenes could eat everything else, right? A Kohenes could eat Truma, and a Kohenes could eat Meiser, and a Kohenes could eat Kodshim Kalim, but she can't eat Kodshei Kadashim. Fine. Now that we're talking about differences in genders, the Gemara says, "Ma bein ish liisha." What are the differences between a man and woman? So the Gemara says, "Ha'ish pore o pore." So distinction number one, Rashi says, "Ish pore a pore, kishu menuga pore a rosho u pore begadam." But said this is talking about if he's afflicted with saras. If a man is afflicted with saras, what does he do? He has to tear his clothing and he has to allow his hair to grow. Ve'ena isha. But on the other hand, a woman does not go ahead and tear her clothing and does not go ahead and allow her hair to grow. Next, Ha'ish Madir. We'll say now these are just random distinctions. Ha'ish Madir Espino Benazir. Ve'in Ha'isha Madir Espino Benazir. A man could go ahead, we'll say, remember from our Nazir days, a man could go ahead and administer. A man could administer a Nazirite vow. Or I should say, he can make his son a Nazir. But a woman doesn't have the ability to make her son a nazir. Ha'ish megaleach al naziros aviv. Remember this? This is the case where, again, the father was a nazir, had separated out money for his concluding Nazirite offerings, but did not get a chance to offer them. And l'maisa, then he dies. So the halacha is that a son could go, and let's say the son's a nazir also, the son could go ahead and use those monies to go ahead and offer up his karbanos as well. So ha'ish megaleach al naziros aviv. But a woman does not have the ability to go ahead and use her father's monies to go ahead and satisfy her Nazirite vows. Ha'ish mekadesh es bito. A man has the ability to go ahead and be mekadesh his daughter, so he could accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. Ve'in ha'isha mekadesh es bito. But a woman does not have the ability to accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. Well, so remember, the Mishnah is just rattling these off. The Gemara is going to go through the source for each of these concepts. Ha'ish mocher es bito. A man has the ability to sell his daughter as an amo ivriya, as a Hebrew maidservant. Ve'in ha'isha mocheres es bito. But a woman does not have the ability to go ahead and sell off his daughter. Her daughter, excuse me. So he goes, the Mishnah goes on. Ha'ish Niskal Arum, a man of us, actually we saw this, if you remember again, last week. So a man, when if he is executed through stoning, is stoned without clothing. Ve'in ha'isha niskeles aruma. But a woman is not stoned without clothing. Ha'ish nitla, after a man is executed, the body is hanged. Ve'in ha'isha nitlis. But a woman's body is not hanged afterwards. We'll say, remember again, there's no form of execution through hanging. Hanging was what was done after a person was executed. The Torah says, Visalisa oso ala eitz. We hang the body on the tree in order that people should see the ramifications of not living in accordance with the law. So now the Mishnah is telling me that only the body of a man is hanged, but the body of a woman is not. Ha'ish nimkar bignevaso. A man is sold as a result of his theft. But a woman is not sold as a result of her theft. So this refers specifically to a case where, remember again, someone steals money, and again, they're caught, and they don't have the ability to repay that which they have sold. Under those circumstances, the Torah makes provisions for selling someone in order to go ahead and pay off the debt. Therefore, the Mishnah tells me this is only a din by men, but not a din by women. Fine, says the Gemara. So we'll say, so the first thing we're going to tackle a little bit is the Karban Mincha. So says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. So we learned. Kalanasuos lekuna. Minchoseha nisrafos. So again, we learned that any woman who is married to a Kohen, her mincha ultimately is burned. Now Rashi points out over here, minchoseha nisrafos, achas minchas sota v'achas minchas nedava. It doesn't matter what kind of mincha we're talking about. It's true, this discussion got started because of sota, but this discussion is not limited to sota. So any time that the wife of a Kohen goes ahead and offers up a mincha, that mincha is burnt. So the Gemara says, Ketzad. So explain to me this case. Kohen, and I will say again, so one more time, when we say it's birth, remember, what are we talking about? what we call the shirayim. The kamitza obviously is burnt. We're talking right now the rest of the mincha that's normally consumed by the kohanim. In a case of where it's the wife of a kohen who's offering it, we call that the shirayim, the leftover offering, that's burnt as well. So kitzad, what's the case? Kohenes levia v'yisraeli shini seis lekohen. See, if you have a situation of a woman, it doesn't matter what she is, whether she's a kohenes, she's a levia, or she's the Israelis, but she married a kohen. So what's the halacha? Ein minchasa ne'acheles. Her mincha cannot be consumed. And remember, irrelevant of the type of mincha she's offering, her mincha offering cannot be consumed. Why? Mipnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. Because her husband has a portion in it. Her person, and remember again, what's the halacha? We saw, what does the pasuk say? Any time that a kohen has an ownership interest in the mincha, what's the halacha? The mincha is burnt. They both say, why is it burnt? Because the Ribono Shel Olam said so. Right? That's it, right? Because it says in the pasuk, again, it's just a gzeiras hakasuv. So therefore, again, if she offers up, if the wife of a kohen offers a mincha, so again, lemaisa, remember again, he has an ownership interest in that. Therefore, again, you have to burn it. However, ve'ina ola kalil mipnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. But there's a problem. What's the problem? I'll say is that it's true. Look at Rashi. Mipnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. So remember again. On one hand, you can't consume the mincha because the kohen has an ownership interest in it. Shumakriva mishalo uksiv kol minchas kohen kalil tihiyah. So on one hand, he has an ownership interest, and the halacha is anytime a kohen owns a mincha, the mincha is burned. But there's a problem. What's the problem? Look at the next Rashi. Ve'ina ola kalil. Here's the problem. If I totally burn on the Mizbeach, I'm ignoring what? Sheyesh lo chelek ba. But she also has an ownership interest in it. Rashi says, Shelikaparasehi ba, ve'in minchas zar ubas coin craving club below kamitza. And I will say, here's the problem. The problem ultimately is that she also has an ownership interest in it. And the problem is that any other mincha is not supposed to just be fully burnt. So yeah, you see this tension. So on one hand, when the wife of a coin is offering up the mincha, so here's my tension. On one hand, he has an ownership interest, which means the whole thing is burnt. On the other hand, she has an ownership interest, which should make it like a regular mincha. So what do we do with this? So the Gemara says, therefore it can't be fully burnt, at least without the separation of the kamitza, because she has a portion in it. Ella, so rather, what do? Hakomets karev ba'atzmo, vashirayim kreven ba'atzmo. So we'll say, so you know what we do? Here is our pshara. We'll separate out the komets. We'll separate out the komets, because remember we'll say, by stam, the mincha of a kohen, you don't even have to separate out the komets. Rather, what do? You just burn the whole thing on the mizbeach. So what will we do for this karban? We'll separate out the komets. Why do we separate out the komets, Rabosai? That's reflective of her portion. But we'll burn the rest of it, reflective of what? Of his portion. So the Gemara says, one second. Ela komets gravatov Hashem krev mitzvon. Ikri kan kol shehu mimenu li'ishim harihu bebal taktiru. But says the Gemara, we have a problem. What's the problem? Literally, there's a klal of anything that is already placed on the fire is prohibited from additional burning. We'll say, what does that mean? We have a general klal that says that, and we'll see this in Rashi in just a moment, that any time you have part of a karban that is offered up, that is burnt on the Mizbeach, you are not allowed to burn any additional part of that karban. In other words, you can only burn the prescribed parts of the karban, you can't burn anything additional. See, here's the problem we have. The way it works with karban mincha is that, again, if the mincha is of the isha, the kamitza is supposed to be burnt, and nothing else is supposed to be burnt. The problem is, if it's the karban of a kohen, everything is supposed to be burnt. So the problem, the Gemara says, is once you're taking that kamitza, what you're saying essentially is that this karban is her karban mincha. If it's her karban mincha, then what? Then only the kamitza could be burnt, and nothing else could be burnt. So how do you have the license then to burn the shirayim, the rest of the mincha, on the mizbeach? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kari kan kol shemimenu, ki kol sa'ar v'chol devash lo sakrivu la'ashem. The pasuk says, anything leavened and honey, you may not go ahead and include in any of your karbanos. Lo sakriv mimenu la'ashem. Havalei le'michtav le, hamalei le'michtav le. So the pasuk actually says, ki kol sa'ar v'chol devash lo saktiru mimenu isha la'ashem. Anything that has sa'ar, leaven, or honey, lo saktiru mimenu, you shall not offer up from it. So Rashi says, why do I need the word mimenu? Lamalei le'michtav mimenu. El midrash inayim ba'an be'nafshei, lo saktiru kol shemimenu ol la'ashem. So we'll say, without going into this right now, because of time, time. What the Gemara is dashing over here is that word mimenu teaches me that if there's some part of the carbon that is already offered up on the Mizbeach, you may not burn additional parts on the Mizbeach as well. So it's very nice that you're giving me this interesting Eitzah, because remember, you have the tension here. What's the tension? The wife of the Kohen is bringing a Karban Mincha. So if it's her Mincha, what should happen with it? What should happen if it's her Mincha? Kmitza on the Mizbeach, Shirayim to the Kohen. What's the problem? Husband also has an ownership interest in the mincha. What happens when a kohen offers a mincha? The whole thing is burned. So Mar says, okay, here's the pshara. Let's burn the kamitza first, and then we'll burn the shirayim. Says the Gemara, that's fine, but how do you do that? Because once, again, you're taking that kamitza, that's the part that's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. To burn something now additional, he said, well, I want to be clear. When you go ahead and you burn the mincha, when you do take care of the mincha of the kohen, the kamitza is not separated out. So the whole thing is just simply burnt on the mizbeach. Now the problem the Gemara says is you're double burning, so to speak. So to do the kamitza and then do the shirayim afterwards, it seems like you're offering up additional things on the mizbeach. To which, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Pazi, demasik luhu l'shum eitzim. To which the Gemara says, okay, there's a simple answer. What's the simple answer? You're not offering up the shirayim in a sacrificial manner. Rather, you're burning it up like wood. In other words, you're not burning up. The problem is if you offer up two things. If I offer up the kamitza as the mincha and I offer up the shirayim as the mincha, that's when I get into a problem. But if I offer up the kamitza, but then I'm just burning the shirayim as what? As eitzim, as just wood, then there's no problem. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi Demasik Lushum Eitzim Kerebe Lazer Desanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lereach Nichoach Iyatama'ale Avalatama'ale Lushum Eitzim. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Rabbi, in this situation again of burning additional parts of a sacrifice, you can't burn additional parts for the purpose of a sacrifice. But there's an easy way to circumvent that, which is how? Just burn it as wood. Just burn it as wood. Sahani yichal Rabbi Lazar de islehai svara. So that works fine according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds of this svara, that you don't have to offer it up as a carbon, but rather what? Just offer it up as eitzim. El Rabbanan de islehai svara ma'ikal meimar. But according to Rabbanan, who did not subscribe to this idea, what is there to say? The avdi luhuk Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Oh, the Rabbanan will hold the Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon say? Well, say, disanya Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer ha-komets karav ba'atzmo. So what does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon suggest? We'll say, remember, what's our problem here? So you know what our problem is. Our problem is we don't know how to deal with this mincha because they are competing, not competing, but there are joint ownership interests. So if from the Isha's perspective, what we would like to see happen is komets offered, shirayim consumed. But from the Kohen's perspective, that is an impossibility. Everything has to be burned. So he wanted to say, easy, no problem. Just first burn the komets, reflecting the Isha's ownership interest, and then burn the shirayim, reflecting the Kohen's ownership interest. Says the Gemara, that's problematic. Why? Because you can't double burn, so to speak. That the way it works with the carbon, any sacrificial item is, there's a part to be burnt. Either there are some things that are all burnt, but anything that just has one part burned, you can't then come along and burn something additional also. To which the Gemara says, okay, there's an easy answer. Answer number one is what? Just don't offer up the shirayim as a carbon, rather what? Offer it up as eitzim, as firewood. That's fine if you buy into that svara. But others who say that you're offering up on the mizbeach, you can't call it, just because you call it eitzim, doesn't change the fact that it's a sacrificial service. Oh, so which Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon comes up with another idea. Offer up the komets on the Mizbeach, and what? Go ahead and literally, shirayim mispasim al beis hadeshen. Let the rest of the meal offering, let the rest of the mincha, be scattered on the beis hadeshen. What's the beis hadeshen, Rabbi Osai? The ash heap. Just go ahead, don't offer it. Don't offer it up on the Mizbeach at all. Rather, just scatter it over the ash heap. Says the Gemara, "Va'afilu Rabbanan lo pligi alei de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, ella b'minchas chotei shel kohanim de'bas hakravihi." And even the Rabbanan only argue on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in a situation of a minchas chotei, right? Ultimately, a mincha that's brought as a result of chait. Ella b'minchas chotei shel kohanim de'bas hakravihi. Therefore, I will say, in this kind of situation, because it is the type of mincha that ultimately is offered up, all of it will be burnt on the Mizbeach. Aval beha, But when you have a situation of the mincha of an eshes kohen, afilu rabbanon modu, even the rabbis will agree with Rabbi Eliezer, that what? That we offer up the kamitza on the mizbeach, and we just scatter the rest on the beis hadesha. And Rabbi say, this is indeed halacha lemaisa, how the Rambam paskins, like this last approach. So, therefore again, if we'll say, here are the two poles, and then we'll go to the middle. So on one hand, if a kohen is offering a mincha, so what's the halacha? What do you do with the mincha? You fully burn it on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if stam a person, a woman, man, it doesn't matter, is offering a karban mincha, the kamitza, what do? Kamitza on the mizbeach, shirayim consumed by the kohanim. If you have a situation in the middle, where again you have a woman who is married to a kohen now offering up a mincha, and I also remember, as we've established, whether it's a mincha sot or any other mincha, so what do I do? What do I do? The kamitza is offered up on the mizbeach, and what? And Rabbi said, now bottom line, halacha maaseh, so what do we do with the rest of it? So remember again, we floated a couple of suggestions. Burn as it. So bottom line is, we simply take the shirayim, the rest of the mincha, and we scatter it over the Beis HaDeshen, we scatter it over the ash heap in the Beis HaMikdash, and that takes care of the secondary part. And that is halacha lemaaseh. Fine. Says the Gemara. Bas Yisrael Hanesua. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have a Bas Yisrael that is Nesua to a Kohen, right, what was this key? So Vir Bas Yisrael Shinisi is the Kohen, Minchas and Esrefes. So says the Mishnah, my taima, so we'll say, so now it's interesting. Now after we discussed it, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, why is this the case? Right? Why is it that if a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, that her Mincha is burned? My time, because the pasuk says the chol minchas kohen kolil tihya lo se'achal kohen v'lo kohenes. So we'll say, so the halacha is, remember again, the halacha is that it's only the mincha of a kohen that is fully burnt on the mizbeach. But for example, in the Mishnah's case, if you had a kohenes who was married to, if you had a bas kohen who was married to Yisrael, so what happens to her karban mincha? What happens to her karban mincha? Nothing. It's offered up like a regular karban. Why? Because the Gemara says, it says, v'chol minchas kohen. And we darshan what? Kohen v'lo kohenes. That this din that a karban mincha has to be fully burnt on the mizbeach is dafka a din in a kohen, but not a din in a kohenes. Next, kohenes mischalales ve'in kohen in mischalal. So once again, the Mishnah said that if a bas kohen has relations with a man whom she is not permitted to marry. So what is the halacha? She becomes a chalala, and that status is permanent. But if a kohen, let's say, marries someone who he's not allowed to, so he is not permitted to operate as a kohen while he's married to this woman. But once he divorces her, he is restored to his former state. Says the Gemara Minalan, where do we know this from? Do amakra lo yichalal zaro ba'amav. Zaro mischalal, v'hu eino mischalal. Because Rabbi Yossi, again, the pasuk says, when speaking about who a kohen is not permitted to marry, says if he marries one of the illegal women, he shouldn't marry these illegal women, so to speak. Why? In order that he not profane his offspring. So what do you see from here? It's his offspring that he has the ability to profane, but he himself cannot become a chalal. An interesting halacha. So we'll say, and that also is halacha lemaisa. If a kohen marries someone, let's say a kohen marries a grusha, a kohen marries a divorcee, so he's not allowed to marry her. He's not allowed to marry her. But lemaisa again, and he's not allowed to operate as a kohen when he is married to her. But once he divorces her, lemaisa again, he is restored back to his former status. However, if they have a child, that child is a chalal, right? That child is called a chalal, and that status remains forever. So let me just finish, and then I just have to finish the mess, and then I'll take all the questions. So kohenes mitama. So what happens? Next case, a kohenes ultimately again becomes could become mitami lemeis, but a kohen cannot. And we'll say all of this is halacha lemeis. You should know again. This is and again what the Gemara is just pointing out is these are based on psukim, which is interesting. Again, the Gemara, if you notice, is not espousing svara. It's just saying this is what the psukim say. Kohenes mitama. So remember again, a kohenes, a bas kohen, could come in contact with the dead, but a kohen cannot. My taima, what's the reason for this? A makra, and moral a kohanim b'nei Aaron. Because the pasuk says, speak to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. They may not become tamei. What do we darshan?
B'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. So again, the pasuk is referring to who? The sons of Aaron and not the daughters of Aaron. We'll say again, this indeed is halacha l'maisa as well. So a kohen cannot become tamei tumas meis, but what? A bas kohen absolutely can. Kohen ochel b'kodshei kadoshim. So a kohen is permitted to eat kodshei kadoshim. Remember again, so this refers to sacrificial items of higher sanctity, namely that they could only be eaten on the harabayis, but they can only be eaten. So only a kohen could eat these items, but a kohenis cannot t'chsiv. Because the pasuk says every male member of the house of Aaron may consume them. So therefore, you see, only kohanim could eat kachim kadoshim, but kohanos cannot. Ma bein ish. So remember again, the Mishnah said one of the distinctions. Once we were distinguishing between a kohen and a kohenes, we began distinguishing between a man and a woman as well. So the first distinction that the Mishnah brought up was by mitzora. So if a man becomes a mitzora, so what does he do? He tears his clothing and lets his hair grow. But a woman does not do this. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan ish. The pasuk by mitzora says ish. So the again, Rashi just points out, saruahu. Ainli ela ish. I only know about a man. Isha minayin. How do I know that a woman also is included? I'm about to say, what are we talking about over here? Take a look at Rashi. Ainli shenichlat betumas nisokim. Eli ish isha minayin. So we'll say, I only know that a man. This actually is referring to the part by nesek. So nesek again has some kind of skin discoloration. So I only know when it says ish that a man is subject to the laws of negoim, to the laws of tzaras. Isha minayin. How do I know that a woman is also subject to the laws of tzaras? Kishu omer v'hatzarua asher bo. Hari kan shnayim, because the pasuk says the tsarua who is found within him this discoloration. That term tsarua ultimately again is non gender specific, and therefore teaches you that both men and women are subject to tsaras. Im kein ma talmud lomar ish. So both say if tsarua teaches me that what, that the laws of tsaras apply to men and women. So what does the pasuk? What does the word ish? If the Torah is trying to be gender neutral, to teach you that this halach applies to everybody, why does the Dafka say ish? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Matam Lomar Ish, Le'inyan Shalamata. Ish teaches me about the circumstance in which the word ish is used. And the word ish is mentioned in the context of what? In the context of priam prima, in the context of allowing the hair to grow and ultimately going ahead and tearing the clothing. So in that particular context, the Torah teaches me that it's dafka a man who does this and not a woman. Fine. Ha'ish madir espino benozir. Ve'ina ish madir espino benozir. So next distinction. A man has the ability to make his son a nozir. A woman does not have this ability. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachi benozir. It's halacha l'moshe misinai in nozir. That a man has the ability to make his son a nozir. A woman does not. Ha'ish megalech on the zeros of ve'ina ish megalachas on the zeros avia. A man has the ability to use his father. Remember again, the father was a nozir. Set aside money for his concluding sacrifices. Died. A son has the ability to use those monies for his own sacrifices, but a woman does not. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachi benazir. It's halacha l'moshe misinai by nazir. Ha'ish mekadesh es bito, ve'in ha'ish mekadesh es bito. A man has the ability to betroth his daughter, but a woman does not have the ability to betroth her daughter. Dechsev, because the pasuk says, as biti nasati la ish hazeh. Literally, I have given my daughter to this man. Okay, so again, it's phrased in that way that the father has the ability to marry off his daughter, a mother does not. Ha'ish niskal arum, a man, if he is stoned without clothing, my taima, what's the reason? But a woman is not. What's the reason for this? So the pasuk says, oh, thank you, I'm sorry. Ha'ish mocher, thank you. Ha'ish mocher es bito, ve'ina'ish mocher es bito. A man has the ability to sell his daughter as an amo ivriya, as a Hebrew maidservant, and a woman does not, thank you. So, dechsev, kiyim kar ish es bito, because the pasuk says, when a man will sell his daughter. So the pasuk phrases it in such a way as talking about the father's ability to go out and sell his daughter. A father could do this and a mother cannot. Ha'ish niskal arum, a man is stoned without his clothing, but a woman is not. My taima, what's the reason for this? Because the pasuk says, "V'ragmu osa kol ha'ida." They will stone, right? The entire kehila, the entire congregation, will stone him. So the Gemara says, "My oso." What does it mean, oso? They will stone him. Ilema oso v'lo osa. Maybe you want to say that it's coming to teach that the punishment of stoning only applies to a man and not to a woman. But the pasuk says, "Votseisa es ha'ishahu, o es ha'isha hahi." But yet the pasuk says, "You shall take out this man, or you shall take out this woman." So the pasuk explicitly says that what that the punishment for stoning applies to both men and women. Ella, so what does Oso teach me? Ella Oso below Kisuso, velo Osa below Kisuso. Rather, the pasuk says Oso. The pasuk understand that Oso means what? Oso means him without his clothing, right? So we v'ragmu Oso, we stone him, meaning without his clothing, but we will not stone her without her clothing. The Gemara concludes, Va'ish nitle, ve'ina ish nitle. So remember again, a man is hanged. So I will say after being executed. So a man is hanged and a woman is not. The body, we're talking about the body is hanged. My taima, what's the reason? Amakra, because the pasuk says, Vitaliso oso alai, al eitz. The pasuk says, you shall hang him. You will hang him on the tree. Oso v'lo osa. So Bosai, here you have the Gemara being very specific in terms of gender specific, that ultimately, again, you hang his body on the tree, but not hers. And finally, the Gemara says, Ha'ish nimkar b'gineva so, ve'in ha'isha nimkaris b'gineva so. A man ultimately is sold as a result of his theft, but a woman is not sold as a result of her theft. So we'll say in this case over here, if let's say again, one of the people, the man or woman, they stole, can't repay that which they stole. So a man will be sold in order to pay back the theft. A woman will not. My time amikra, because the pasuk says, v'nimkar b'gineva so. The pasuk says that a man will be sold as a result of his theft. We darshan b'gineva so. Only it's a man who will be sold, and what? Velo b'gineva so. But a woman will not be sold as a result of her theft. Hadrin Allah Haya Nota Abosai Mazel Tov. Emir Tzashem will continue with the new Perek B'Shah Tovo Matzlachos tomorrow.
Why is this department that is treated like Moshe? It requires a status that can no longer be different. So you burn it.
Say like no, like Nosar?
Yeah, you burn it outside, but there you have an example where it should have been something happened to